All right. Thank you, Lord. I give you all the glory, all the praise. Father, I just thank you for each and every person that came out tonight. And Lord, I never take it lightly when you ask me to speak into the people's lives. And so, Father, tonight I just pray that you'll fill my mouth with the words that you would have me to speak, and that you would give them the ears to hear, and that we would all go out of here just a little bit more secure in who we are, a little bit happier than when we came in, and that the world will see us and know that we belong to you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so got something funny to tell y'all. So last night I was teaching in the Bible school, and so I'm sitting at my desk and I'm going over my notes, and I'm thinking, wonder who's preaching tomorrow night, because nobody asked me to preach and everybody else who preaches is gone. So I say, hey, Nikki and Pastor Jeannie are in there. I said, hey, who's preaching tomorrow night? And they said, well, you are. I said, wow, that's good to know. That's awesome. I'm like, Lord, we got to talk quick. I'm not getting home till 10 o'clock tonight. You got to talk. So I was praying and you know, nothing was downloading. And that's just not usual. I'm like, man, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm running out of time. I don't have time. You're going to have to give me, otherwise I'm just going to get up there and stand there. And we're going to praise the Lord and pray in tongues and sing or something. I don't know. You better do something. And then I got the thought, well, go look at your sermons that you have preached. I said, okay, that's what I'll do. I'll go see what I have preached because I've got a whole stack of those. So I'm like, yeah, all right. So I go in there and I'm looking. I'm like, is it this one? Is it that one? Is it the other one? Finally, I hit on one and I'm like, that's the one.
Wow.
And so me and Miss Rosie were talking about this just a moment ago. I think that maybe, you know, God did that on purpose so that maybe I would come back to this message. Amen. He didn't want me to overthink that too much, because, you know, if I'd have known ahead of time and I kept praying and praying and he didn't talk to me, I'd have been like, I repent. Help me. I plead the blood of Jesus. Satan, get out of here. What's wrong? Why can't I hear anything? Amen. So tonight I'm going to talk about identity. We're going to talk about identity. You know, we get our identity from so many things. You know, we try to get our identity from our work. You know, well, I'm a nurse, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, I'm a this, I'm a that, okay? People get their identity from being a great athlete. Well, I'm really good at being an athlete, I'm really good at, or I'm good at some other accomplishment. Maybe I'm a great pianist, or maybe I'm a good singer, or maybe I'm a good preacher, or you name it, fill it in, right? And our teenagers are particularly susceptible to this. If you can remember when you were a teenager, oh man, I can remember I was changing my identity on the outside constantly because I was trying to discover where was my value. See, we do that. We're looking for value is what it is. And our teenagers particularly, because they're coming into who they are, just coming into who they are trying to figure out their value. Now, there's nothing wrong. I mean, we get identity from making money, your socioeconomic status, right? Who's got the best house, the best car, you know, all kinds of things. Now, listen to me. Nothing wrong with us being, motivated, having goals. It's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. But the problem is that is something that either you have given yourself, right? You've given that to yourself. You've gone out and you've worked and you've earned that thing, right? Or somebody else has given you status by giving you a position or something like that, right? And it's all good. It's fine. It's fine. But the problem is when you get your value from it. And why is that a problem? Because anything that I earned for myself, I could also lose. Anything that somebody else gave to me, I can lose that. Right? It's not a guarantee that I'm going to keep that forever. And if my value of who I am is placed in that, well, now who am I when that's gone?
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
And listen, the devil will come to you. Some of you are widowers. I'm a recent widower. Mm-hmm. You get your identity sometimes according to your spouse, particularly if you're a woman.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right? You get that. And then suddenly you've been that for a long time. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you find yourself in the position that you are not that anymore.
Right.
And don't think the enemy won't come to you and say, so what's your value now? Because your value can't be in the identity that you got here in this world. Value comes from a different identity. Right? So, first thing I want to ask is, who are you? Who are you? It's a good question. You may think you know who you are, but do you really know who you are? Amen? Do you really know who you are? I want everybody to repeat this after me. Everyone say, I am the blood-bought church, the redeemed, the body of Christ. Amen. See, there is an identity. If you have been saved, if you are a Christian, do you know you have a whole different identity?
Yes.
And listen to me, that identity, you didn't earn it. It has nothing to do with what you did. Nothing at all.
Amen.
Nor did any man give it to you.
Amen.
It was given to you through grace. And let me tell you something. It is so much bigger than anything that we can do here on our earth. That identity trumps anything that this earth has to offer.
Amen.
And the beauty of it is that's where your true value comes from. That's what your real value is what God said that you are. Do y'all remember that song, the one I just made you quote? Any of y'all remember that? That was an old song.
Yeah.
We're the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. Do y'all remember that? And we are in that army of the Lord. We've been bought with the blood, and we are going forth. Y'all know that song?
Yes.
I loved that song. I loved that song. Nancy Harmon, you sing that. I don't sing it because she sings so low, I can't sing down there where she I have to kick it up a few keys. But you know what? There's such truth in that. There's such truth in that. So if you've been born again, you've got an amazing identity. It doesn't matter who you were before or even who you are currently.
Amen.
Even who you are currently doesn't matter. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's go there. Actually, I'm going to cheat and look at the thing because it's just so much easier. It's just easy to be lazy. Okay, praise the Lord. So, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, listen, that's great news because perhaps your identity before you came to Christ, it wasn't a good one.
Yeah.
You know, some of us have that story, you know. And maybe even now you may not feel like, well, I'm not where I need to be. Things aren't great. I'm not making the best money. I'm not living in the best place. I'm not living up to the American dream, right? You could feel that way. But listen, whatever you did in the past, if you used to be an alcoholic, you're a brand new creation.
Amen. That's right.
If you used to be addicted to pornography, you're a brand new creation.
Amen.
It's all washed away. And you didn't do a thing to earn that. Now, you have to do things to walk in it.
Yeah.
But you didn't do a thing to earn it. And you can't unearn it. That's good news. It's really good news. Amen? Not only that, you know, we tend to think about church, okay? We think about, we're going to go to church. In some of the, you know, like Middle Eastern places, even some places here in America, I know my sister's church, they're kind of like, they kind of reverence the church building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the temple's holy. And so, you know, over there, take your shoes off and you come in. And you know, I've heard some things in my sister's talking about that you would come into the church like that. You know, the building itself is holy. Well, listen, you are the temple. You became the temple of God. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. So not only have you been made a brand new creation, you now are the carrier of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You're the carrier of God. Amen. Well, how much, name for me one other thing that is bigger than that. Can anybody tell me anything that seems more important than the fact that you walk around with God Almighty inside of you all day long? Doubtful. As a matter of fact, I know you can't. Amen. Amen. That's a loaded question because I know you can't answer it. Not only are you the temple, but you've become the body of Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now, you know, this right here, this is super important. I'm always interested in the gifts of the Spirit, and I just love Holy Ghost meetings, and I love the idea of being led by the Holy Ghost. And to me, there's no greater privilege when I know that God is talking to me. I don't take that lightly. I'm like, God is talking to me. When he downloads a sermon into me, I am awed by the fact that he is talking to me and telling me his heart for you, for the people. He's not doing it for me. He's doing it for you, if I'm going to stand in front of you. But it means he shares his heart with me, right? And so I was looking into all these gifts of the Spirit and stuff like that, and I was listening to this one particular person teach on the gifts of the Spirit. And he made a statement where when he was young in the things of the Lord and he was trying to learn how to have words of knowledge, words of wisdom, you know, prophesy, things like that. And he was frustrated because he was a youth pastor and he's driving the school bus one morning and he said, I'd been praying and fasting and doing all this stuff. And he said, I was on the bus and he said, and that morning had just gone poorly. And he's like, I was talking to the Lord and the Lord said, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 6:17. He's like, I know what 1 Corinthians 6:17 says. He says, well, I want you to look at it. And he said he argued with the Lord, and he says, okay, I'll look at it. So he got his Bible there while he was waiting for some teenagers to get on the bus. They were running late. It was part of his frustration because he was going to be late getting back, and his teenagers were waiting. And, you know, like most small churches, he was fulfilling several roles within the church, and he's all, you know, flustered and pulled in different directions. And he said, one spirit. And he said, suddenly it just clicked with him. One spirit. See, not only is God living in you, you literally are one with him.
Wow.
On the inside, you are one with God. And in that moment, he told him, he said, when you are walking with me and you are one spirit with me, what is the thought you have? And he said he was so shocked. He was like, you mean to tell me that all I can just open my mouth and the thoughts that come to me can be from you? And he's like, yeah, it's that simple. And he said, all right, I'm going to test that out. And so when one of the teenagers got on the bus, he opened his mouth and said the thought that came to him, and the teenager busted out crying. And he's like, all this time I was making it so difficult. I was waiting for something from the outside to come inwards, right? He got the revelation in that moment that you literally are one on the inside. We don't stop and think about that. We read those words, but we don't. It's like we still think in the terms of, here am I with my thoughts, and I'm just waiting for God to show up.
Yes.
Even I do it. I'm waiting for God to show up. God showed up the minute you accepted Jesus and the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
God already showed up. So literally, your identity is a God person. Your identity is Jesus. Your identity is God. One spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So then let's look at Jesus for just a moment. Because if I'm the body of Christ and I'm one spirit with him, it helps to know who was he. Where is he sitting? What's going on with him, right? Because if I am the body of Christ, then who am I?
Right. Amen.
You know, Pastor says this all the time, but we hear it so much, we kind of just fluff it off. You know, if Miss Claudia is sitting here and she sticks her hand out, her hand is still Miss Claudia.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not somebody else. It's not, she's Miss Claudia, and that's, we don't know, that's an alien. Right? We know that's her hand, right? Okay, so let's look at Colossians 2:15. Where is that place? Sorry about that. I'm trying not to cough in it. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And then I want you to go to Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Well, let me finish. Yep. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now listen, you're the body of Christ. Jesus is seated on the throne. Everything's been put under his feet. He's disarmed the devil. He's the head over you, which means you are his body. Whatever Jesus has, you have. And he told us that he gave us this power. He told us that he gave that which is his to us. Let's look at that. We're going to go to Luke 10:19. It says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Let's look at Mark 16, 17 through 18. It says, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Woo, hold on. I have barely gotten into this. So already you found out that you're a brand new creation, okay? You are the body of Christ. You are one spirit with God. You walk around carrying God with you everywhere you go, and you have authority over all the authority of the enemy. And you're able to trample on that little punk.
Amen.
Until the day he gets cast into the lake of fire. And we've only just begun.
Amen.
Let me ask you, how valuable does that make you? How valuable does that make you? Amen?
Yes.
Now, you say, great, that sounds good, that's exciting. But how do I get there? Like, I'm not seeing that, okay? I'm still walking around and the devil's still attacking me. Well, listen, he's going to do that until the day you leave here, because that's what makes him the devil. But listen to me, you overcome, and that's what makes God God.
Amen.
Amen. You overcome, and that's what makes God God. Amen. So let's look at Acts 1:8. See, he gave you a way to do it. He gave you the key and how to walk in this amazingness that he has made you to be.
Amen.
Amen? It says, but you shall receive what?
Power.
Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Is this thing given like a weird feedback?
No.
Okay, maybe it's just the way it sounds to me. Okay, so listen, the key here is the Holy Spirit. Now, I am always passionate about this subject, and I'll tell you why. I've said it before, but I came out of that Baptist church, and you know they didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's true that I got the Holy Ghost when I got saved. I was sealed with the Holy Ghost. But there's a whole nother experience, as we all know in here, of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. But listen, it was such a game changer for me. When I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, it changed everything. It changed the way I understood the Bible. It changed my ability to be victorious, to win over the devil and over temptations, right? Amen? And something that I struggled greatly with before, and the thing that it's the very thing that brought me to this church, was that I struggled with being lukewarm, and I did not know how to get out of that. Yeah. I'd even prayed to God. I'm like, you know, Father, I know you hate lukewarmness. I know that. And I know I'm lukewarm. Because really, I'm kind of bored with my Christian life. It doesn't, you know, I'm in a church where they're not teaching me victory or power or overcoming or none of that or healing. And so basically, you might as well just rip most of the Bible out and keep John 3:16 and there you go, okay? And then they tell you don't do this and don't do that, but they never give you any power or ideas or suggestions how to not do this or not do that or do this and do that. You know, they tell you how you're supposed to look, but they never told you how to look like that. And I was so frustrated with my own Christian walk, and I had prayed this prayer. I'm like, okay, I'm lukewarm, but Papa, I can't work it up. I don't know what to do. So either they don't understand, or I don't understand, or all of us don't understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I literally said that, and you're just going to have to show me, because I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't know. What I see is basically I'm not going to hell, and I will always be grateful for that. But basically, I look just like everybody else. Yeah. All the same struggles, all the same problems, all, you know, I can't see what the big difference is,
right.
You know? And that led us to this church. Long story short, it led me to sitting and watching Andrew Womack, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you something, everything started changing. And now, when the lukewarmness wants to come and settle on to me, I know that I'm to go stir myself up in the Holy Ghost, right? I've got a means by which to do this.
Yes.
Having the Holy Spirit is such a, whoo, that's an identity changer. That's an identity changer.
Yes.
Get your value from that.
Yes.
Get your value from that. Amen?
Amen?
Now, along with this empowerment comes what? A supernatural language.
Yes.
A supernatural language. It's able to be, it's being able to talk to God in code, if you will. In code. How many of y'all remember or are familiar with the story of the Wind Talkers, what was called the Wind Talkers? Y'all ever heard of that? Bob has heard of that. During the war, one of the world wars, which one was it? Was it one or two? Second. The Second World War, they had this situation where the Germans kept being able to break the code. So when they were trying to talk and give missions and strategies and so on and so forth, well, the Germans could intercept that because they had broken the code. But there was this certain set of, they were Navajo tribal people. They were Navajo Indians. And they had a very, unique. It was very unique. The men know this story. They're helping me out. A very unique dialect. It wasn't known widely, and the Germans did not know that. And when they started using these men, they were able to get their strategies and do the things that they needed, and it helped them win the war. And they gave them this unique name. They called them the Wind Talkers. The Wind Talkers. Well, I got to thinking about that. I'm like, Wind Talkers. Where have I heard that before? Let's look at John 3:8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. Listen, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Amen. How about Acts 2:1-4? When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to me. Listen to me. You are the temple of God. You walk around with God and you all the time. You are one spirit with God. You have the Holy Ghost, which is that spirit. And you have a secret language that is there to help you to get the strategies of God through to defeat the enemy. You are a wind talker.
Amen.
You are a unique,
yes,
small, beautiful tribe. Amen. Listen. We're a unique people. We're a peculiar people, are we not? Are we not? We are something. We are something that has nothing to do with this world.
Amen.
Our identity does not, listen to me, Christian. Your identity doesn't come from this world. It's important that you know it. It's important that you know it. Because the enemy will test you. Ask me how I know. That's right. You don't need to. Y'all know. Now, along with the Holy Spirit comes all the gifts of the Spirit. All the gifts of the Spirit. Let's look at, I didn't give you this. But if you go back to 1 Corinthians 12. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says that we are all, I think I read this earlier, we are all members individually, but each one of us, we are all the body of Christ, but we are each members individually, right? And if you go back, it talks about all the gifts. To one he gives this, and to one he gives that, and to one he gives another thing, but it's all one spirit. So not only, listen to me, not only are you the temple of God and filled with the Spirit, but you are, and you're able to break the code, and you're able to speak secrets of God, mysteries of God. Amen. But you literally are like a superwoman or a superman. You've got gifts, supernatural gifts, gifts you didn't earn.
Amen.
And listen to me. You may be sitting there thinking, no, I really don't have any gifting. Well, then the Bible's a lie. Because you do have a gifting. And even if it's, listen, where we get messed up is because we think that if it's not fivefold, then it's not anything, that we're not gifted in any way by the Holy Ghost. That simply is not true. That simply is not true. As a matter of fact, God had a lot to say about that. He said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And the reason he doesn't want you to forsake the assembling of yourselves together is because each of you bring a supply.
Yep.
Do you know that even while I stand here bringing my part to you, you also brought something to me? And without you here, I am not complete. I am a piece of the body without the rest of it. The Bible says that we all have a part. You know, if all was the hand, then where would be the foot? You know, you can't say that just because you're not the hand that you're of no value. But we all kind of want to look at it like that. And then we think it's not that important that I come to church. It's not that important that I, you know, show up or do this or do that. But listen, when you don't come and you don't assemble here with us, you rob us. And God placed you in a body for a reason. If he led you to a church, that church, you bring something there that they need, whether you know what it is or not. And there are many times God is using you and you have zero idea.
Amen. That's true.
Zero idea that God's using you. I can't tell you how many times somebody has just come and said some passing remark to me, and literally it brought me to tears.
Wow.
Because it was the very thing I needed to hear. They may have never known it.
And
they were just giving me what they thought was a politeness or a passing remark. And likewise, I've heard that said back to me. You know, Teresa, one time you said this while I was dealing with this, and I knew that God was talking to me. Now, I wasn't aware when I said that, that it was talking to that person specifically.
Amen.
Amen? So listen, you are valued within the church. The church doesn't exist without you. The church doesn't exist without you. How valuable are you? I like that. one person answers me. I'm looking for everybody to say we're valuable. Amen. Amen. So literally, you know, pastor's always saying, I want to get me a shirt that says Superman. You know what? Even without the shirt, you are Superman. You've been transformed. You didn't even have to get in the phone booth. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You didn't even have to get in the phone booth. Now, if that's not enough, we've been given the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Oh, listen, you're going to get into times in your life. I certainly know this has been extremely valuable to me to know this. Because I've been faced with many things that I don't know what is the right thing for me to do. And I don't know what's coming down the road. Amen. And I'm in a place of not knowing. But I know that I actually do know, even if I don't know. Do you understand that?
Yes.
I know that the answers are within me, within the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And while I may not have gotten it here yet, it's there.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. That is very comforting and helpful to know. It is very comforting and helpful to know that no matter what I face and what I'm going through, that the Holy Ghost is always with me and that he's going to take the things of Christ and he's going to reveal them to me and he's going to show me the way and he's going to order my steps.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And I promise you, you'll come to a time in your life, if you haven't already, where you'll need that.
Oh, yes.
You'll need that, right? Amen. You're going to need it. And let's talk about this. We've been made heirs and joint heirs. Let's look at Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. That means that I have inherited everything in the will. Everything. Isn't that what an heir does?
Yes.
What is the will? It's the word. It's everything that the word says. I've inherited it. I didn't earn it. I didn't do a thing to earn it.
Wow.
I didn't do a thing to earn any of this. Nobody gave this to me except Jesus.
That's right.
Nobody can take it away from me.
Amen.
And only I can keep me from walking in it.
That's right.
Amen.
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 Amen. So what do I care if the world doesn't think that I'm all that? It's good to have goals. It's good to be motivated and to want to move forward. I'm not talking about that. Don't misunderstand. And it's good for you to get all those things. But if tomorrow the thing that you've been identifying with is gone, who are you then?
That's right.
See, that's what I'm really talking to you about.
That's right.
Because see, all those things you're getting in the earth, they're not your value. They're nice.
Yeah.
They keep you interested. They keep you moving. They keep you living. You know, giving you a purpose, giving you interest, helping you interact with others, all good. Not your value. Not your value.
Amen?
Because believe me, it could all be gone tomorrow. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all of the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God, where? Through us. Through us. Literally, all of the promises are yes to you. Yes and amen, so be it. Amen, so be it. That's what it means. Yes, and so be it. Yes, when God said it, God said you're prosperous, yes, and so be it. God said that you have the mind of Christ, yes, and so be it. God said that you're an overcomer, that you overcame the devil, yes, and so be it. God said you are the healed, yes, and so be it. God said that you have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. And how do I get renewed in that? The will. I find out what is his mind towards me.
That's right.
And how do I get it into my here and now? Oh, wind talking. You got to be a wind talker.
Amen.
You got to break the mysteries of God. You got to get the mysteries of God from in the spirit up into your mind. And the beauty of that is that the devil can't break the code. Amen. He don't know what you're saying. And I'm going to tell you something else. It's you're praying in your most holy faith. And the reason you're praying in your most holy faith is because you can't doubt what you don't know what you're saying.
That's right.
You don't know what you're saying. You can't doubt it.
That's
Amen.
Right.
You've got great faith when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, I never doubt anything I pray in the Holy Ghost. Not one thing.
Yeah.
I never
That's
do.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah, it's real easy for me to pray in faith in the Holy Ghost. Now, I might have a different thought if I actually knew everything I was saying. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit lets you get a little glimpse at what you're saying. But I think quite often he's like, no, we're just going to keep that secret until you're faced with it. And then you'll know what to do.
Yep.
And then you'll know what to do because you don't know what things you're praying out. But I will tell you this, it's good.
Yes.
It's the promises. It's the will of God.
Amen.
You may not understand how it's all going to play out. You don't see your life down the road. You don't see the whole picture. But here's the good thing. God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He wrote the book of your days before there were any of them. And he's already been wherever you're going. And therefore, he's already made the provision.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Hard to keep in our minds when we're going through. Hard. Easy preaching, sometimes hard living.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
But we have to bring ourselves back to what's truth.
Yes.
That's why you need godly people around you. That's why it's super important that you don't desert the assembling together. Because sometimes you're going to walk through something. Trust me, you will need.
Yeah.
You'll need your church people.
That's right.
You'll need them.
Yes.
All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:21 through 23. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things, listen, what? All things. How many things?
All
things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ and Christ is God. Remember? One spirit. One spirit. What does this mean to me? It means that everything that that Bible tells me I am, I am. It means that everything that Bible tells me I can have, I can have it. It means that everything it tells me that I can do, I can do it. Because I'm not working on my own. I've got the Holy Spirit. And I've got the mind of Christ. And I'm victorious. And that does not depend on my circumstances. Amen. Praise Jesus. I'm very thankful for that. How about the rest of you?
Yes.
Amen. All right. Let's talk about this. Let's look at Mark 16, 17 through 18. And it says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Oh, man. So I'm actually a healer.
That's right.
And the devil will try to steal that from you, too. Because he'll bring circumstances and things to make you doubt that. He wants you to doubt it. But you must remember. You must remember the word said it, and it's true. And it doesn't matter what your experiences or your circumstances are. And you must always remember that when you're praying for someone else, their will is involved.
Yes. That's true.
Very true.
But it does not change the truth.
No, it doesn't.
The truth is the truth is the truth. Is the truth.
Amen.
Devil wants you to forget that.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to shut up and don't lay your hands on anybody and don't pray for them. Because after all, it didn't work the last time, did it?
Wow.
See, that's how he'll talk to you. Mm-hmm. Who are you to go lay your hands on that person? And you have to decide, what are you going to be in that moment? Will you be your earthly identity and your experience, or will you be that? Mm-hmm. What he said.
Amen.
Well, I'm choosing that.
Amen.
I'm choosing that. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Let's look at Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Now, you have been given the mind of Christ, the spirit of God. You're the temple. You're a healer. And now you have the name. Because if all that's not enough, you got the name of Jesus. And that's the name above every name. You've been given power of attorney over the name. Amen?
Amen?
And so even if you walk around doubting who you are, do you doubt the name?
No.
Well, I don't. See, even on the days when I can doubt who I am, I can't doubt who he is.
Amen.
And so the name of Jesus still works even in the midst of my doubting of me.
Amen.
I don't ever doubt that Jesus can do it. I don't know about you. I never doubt that. Everything he's done for me, I don't doubt that. I've got too much evidence to the contrary.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's look at this. You've been given the power of eternity. Attorney, I've already said that. Let's look at John 14, 13. It says, and whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask in my name. Can you put that one back up there, Tracy? That I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Hold on. I want you to really think about that for a minute. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Wait a minute. It doesn't depend on the fact that I'm not good enough or that I'm not, amazing in every way. Nope. It said that the Father may be glorified.
Yes.
He'll do it because he's glorifying the Father.
Yes.
Amen. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Whatever you ask. Now, we understand inherently that it has to line up with his will. He said all the promises are yes and amen. He didn't say that you could go out and ask for, I can't go over here and pray that sister so-and-so's husband divorces her and marries me. Okay, that it doesn't work like that, folks, okay? Because I've heard some people, I heard a story, and Mel's like, you can't. No, she's messing with me. She's like, what? I heard a story about Kenneth Copeland. Some lady got obsessed with him, and she was literally going around praying that Gloria, that she would die, or that he, so that she could marry him because she was convinced that that was her next husband. Well, okay, now you took it out of, all right, you took it out of the context here, and you tried to use it. Listen, God's principles don't work in the devil's camp. It's, you can't do the devil's work with God's principles, all right? That's what I'm trying to say. It works in his camp. It destroys his camp, but you can't do his bidding with God's principles, okay? So, within context, amen? But whatever you ask that is God's will, whatever you ask, think about that. Wow. And listen, we have to know our identity, and then we have to understand our authority. Because it does me no good to know my identity if I don't know my authority to use it. Right? Lots of people can tell you, yeah, I know that, but they don't believe in their ability to use it.
That's right.
They believe somebody else has to do all of their praying and do all of the, you know, heavy lifting, so to speak. And if I could just get the pastor, then things will work out. Or if I could just get to, you know, the prayer group, or if I could just get to name it.
Yes.
Wow. Right?
True.
And they've been hearing about their identity, but they doubt their own authority.
Yes.
Ploy of the devil. Ploy of the devil. Super important you know your identity and you know your authority. Let's look at Revelations 5, 9 through 10. It says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'" Priest. Now, what's the big deal about this? You know, the first time, few times I read that, I'm like, yeah, that, okay, sounds nice. I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking priest, you know, like Catholic priest standing in the, I'm like, okay, I'm a priest. I don't get it. You know, I don't know what that really means to me, right? Well, listen. Back in the olden days, listen, the priest was the only one who could go into the Holy of Holies. He was the only one who could do it on behalf of the people. So he was the only one that could go into the presence of God, and it was on behalf of the people. So the people themselves couldn't do it. You had to rely on that one man. And listen, if he didn't go in there correctly, he was dead. Literally. He would fall down dead. They had a custom of they would put bells around the bottom. They had pomegranates and bells that was on the bottom of their robes, and so that, and they would tie a rope. And so if they went in and they didn't hear the bells ringing anymore, they knew that the priest didn't do it right. And he's dead, but they couldn't go in because they would die.
Yeah.
Literally. So if he hadn't done it right, they took the rope and pulled him out by his ankle. I mean, it was serious stuff. Serious stuff, you know? You're like, okay, kind of scary. Well, how big of a deal is it then that you're the temple of God?
Yeah. Amen.
How big of a deal is it that you walk around with God in you all the time?
Amen.
And you didn't earn it.
Amen.
Jesus did it. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, did that. You didn't earn it.
Amen.
Good news, because you can't unearn it. You can mess up and you can get off the track, but you can turn right around and it's still yours.
Amen.
Amen. You can repent and come right back to it. You can't undo what Jesus has done. Amen. Right? You can come boldly. So you've been made a priest. So now not only can I go in for my own self, I can go in for the people, but I can go in for me. I can come boldly. I don't need the go-between. Okay, so then what's the big deal? I've got an audience with God, and I've been made a king.
Wow.
I've been made a king. Amen. Now, listen. Here's some interesting things about a king. What's the big deal about that? Kings have to inherit the position from their family. Kings, you don't just go out in the street and get kings now. They did, you know, in the Bible days, God would anoint somebody. But once again, the prophets would go, and even then, God was the one choosing the kings.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right?
And then once a king became king, if he had sons, one of those sons was the heir to that throne.
Yes.
You see that over and over. Well, it's still like that.
Still.
In England, who inherited the throne?
Right.
It was family.
Yeah.
And when he dies, who will inherit the throne? It's family.
Yeah.
In other words, you couldn't just get into it. It's a very exclusive thing.
Yes.
But you have been made a king.
Amen.
You are a king. And it's for life.
Yes.
Wow.
It's for life. A king rules for life unless he abdicates the throne.
That's right. Uh-huh.
So the only way he gets out of it is if he abdicates it.
Right?
Right?
Yes.
Now, what does a king do? A king establishes law. So is it a big deal that you've been made a king? Yeah, it kind of is.
Yes.
It kind of is. You establish a law. A king gets up and he decrees a thing and it is done.
Amen.
He gets up and he decrees it. And it's a done thing.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
He establishes law. Matthew 18:15. Let's look at that. It says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him. Did I get the right one? Yeah, we'll see. And tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, I don't think that's what I wanted. But anyway, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed. I'll just tell you where I was trying to go. Amen. Okay. And so listen, we've been given the authority to bind and to loose. In other words, we're lawgivers.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
You have the right to make the law of what's going on in your life.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. That's lawgiver. That's a lawgiver, kings. A king declares and decrees a thing, and it is done. Wow, that sounds a lot like Mark 11, 23 and 24. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. We're all familiar with that. Right? Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. I don't know. How are y'all feeling, kings? How are y'all feeling right now? You declare a thing and it's done.
Wow.
You set the law down. You take authority over the enemy. You say it'll not be so in my house.
Amen.
Or you say it will be so in my house. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. All right, so is it a big deal to be a priest and a king? Well, yeah, you have a never-ending audience with God, and you're not struck dead for it. So that's big. You know, you're not dead because. And let me just say something about that. We hear that and we're like, God says, listen, the awe of God is a real thing. But the reason people died in his presence is because darkness cannot exist in light. It's purely simple. It wasn't that God was just, he's pure holiness. And anything unholy dies in his presence.
Amen.
And before Jesus, men weren't holy. So they had to do all the sacrifices and the blood. There had to be blood, remember? If you sinned, then there was going to be death. Death brings blood, and blood and you had to have blood.
Yes.
And that's why Jesus was our perfect sacrifice.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen. And so, listen, having an audience with God, being a priest, being able to come in on my own behalf, being able to come in on others' behalf, being able to declare and decree a thing, that's your identity. That's who you are. It's not imaginary, because God said it. It's not like something we say to feel nice. You go out and go, well, that made me feel good. Yeah, it made you feel good. But remember, it's real.
Amen.
It's who you are.
Amen.
It is a reality. Man's not going to give that to you, but God gave it to you.
Amen.
And so you have to reach out and grab hold of it and take it. Amen? You have to go, yeah, you know what? That is who I am.
Amen.
And I will walk in it. Amen? Let's look at Ephesians. A king, where does a king rule from? Let's look at it. Ephesians 2:6. It says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
You're sitting on a throne, whether you know it or not.
Amen.
Make sure you stay on it. Yeah, make sure you stay on that throne. I know that's kind of hard for us to try and figure out in our mind, like, how can I be here and yet I'm seated on the throne? Well, you have your existence. You move and breathe through Christ Jesus. So spiritually, you are joined with him. You are one spirit. Remember, we just talked about that. So if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in you, that's the same Holy Spirit that Jesus was operating in, and he's in you, so you are seated on a throne. You are a king, you can rule and decree, and you are seated on a throne. And let me just throw this in here, even though I didn't make notes about it, but I just feel I should. You know, oftentimes when we're praying, we're like, I don't feel like God's paying attention to me. You know, I'm praying. Well, let me ask you something. Hey, Kathy, how you doing?
Wonderful, thank you.
Right. So if I'm sitting here with Kathy And I've got my arm around her and I'm patting her. Do you suppose she's aware of that? Do you think that it's hard for her not to notice that I'm right here in her personal space like this? Can I say something to you? You're seated right next to God. And all day long, God, Jesus is praying for you. He is never ignoring you. He can't. You can't ignore someone sitting right next to you. You can pretend you're ignoring them, but the truth is that you are very aware that they're there, right? Amen. You're very aware of them. God's never unaware of you. No matter what it looks like to you, he is never unaware of you. Not for a minute, not day, not night. Never. And that's who you are. How valuable is that? Yeah, that's pretty valuable. Pretty valuable. Amen? Far more valuable than your house, your car, your 401k, your profession, your socioeconomic status. Far more valuable. Far more valuable and eternal. Amen? All right. We also, if this isn't enough, we're seated with Christ, okay? If all this isn't enough, you know, a king has those that are under him that help carry out whatever he declares and decrees. You know, he doesn't get off the throne and go do all the things. Yeah. He's seated on the throne and he has authorities and dignitaries and leaders and people that go and carry out whatever he decreed and declared, right? Do you know that you do too?
Hallelujah.
Let's look at Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Amen. What? The angels. In another place it says that the angels hearken unto the voice of the word. So it basically, while you're sitting being a king and a priest in the presence of God and decreeing and declaring things, you've got angels who are carrying out the will of God in your life. Stay on your throne.
Yeah.
Amen? Stay on your throne, kings. You've got angelic help. The word is our supernatural weapon. You have a weapon that you can fight. Let's look at Psalm 103:20. It says, bless the Lord, you his angels, here it is, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Now, it doesn't matter if the voice of that word is coming out of your mouth or Miss Barbara's mouth or my mouth. It's still his word.
Amen. Yes, it is.
So you've got a supernatural weapon here. It's the word, and you've got the angels carrying it out. Amen. It says that we overcome by the what? Blood of the Lamb and the what? Word of our testimony.
Yes.
So while I'm ruling and reigning on my throne, how am I doing it? I'm doing it with the word.
Yes.
I'm doing it with the word. Let's look at Revelation 12:11. And this is what I just said. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Let's look at Matthew 16:18. And it says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
Listen. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what it looks like at the natural. You never, ever, listen to me, you never, ever have any reason to be afraid.
Amen.
I didn't say fear won't come to you.
Yeah.
But how long will you entertain it? Because you can set the law down.
That's right. Amen.
Listen, there are things that can happen in your life that can strike fear in your heart.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of what ifs and I don't know and what am I going to do? So then I get to choose. Am I going to use my weapons? Am I going to stay seated on the throne?
That's right?
Right?
Amen.
Because that's who I really am. Because
mm-hmm.
That's my identity.
Yes.
And that's your identity.
Yes, it is.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. How much longer have we got here? I've got a few minutes. That's good. You know, All y'all are aware that I just lost my husband recently. Y'all are aware of that. Listen, that's taken me to a whole different place than I've been before.
Yeah.
I've never been a widow before. You know, that's a new thing.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been an easy walk. I have my good days and I have my bad days. You can get your identity wrapped up in another person living. You don't even mean to do it. It just kind of comes naturally, because if you're a wife, well, you're a wife, and you're one, and your identity is wrapped up. It's supposed to be that way. It's not that I sinned. It's just that I have to know how to come back to who I am in Christ, and that my identity, and I still have value. And so do you. But I have to choose that. I choose it. I choose it. Because the devil certainly will come to you. Sometimes you're walking through something that it's, you know, it's terrifying. I can't deny that I was scared through the whole journey, because I was watching my husband die. A little at a time. If I did not have myself grounded in the Word, see. But can I tell you something? He was with me every step of the way. He's been so faithful to me. So faithful to me. And He's used you guys to love me and to uphold me and to pray for me and to carry me through. Your church is important. Don't take that lightly. Now, something good that came through all that, you know, I never understood how much you guys loved me. My mind has been blown by the amazing generosity, the support, the encouraging words, the prayers. It's carried me through what could have been a much harder time. And not only that, what looks like a disaster, God has taken that and has already used it to bring other souls into the kingdom. Literally on the 1 month anniversary of Jerry passing, somebody in this church came to me and said, you know, Pastor Teresa, I was wondering if you'd come pray with my friend. Long story short, he has cancer. Temptation is to say, who am I to pray for somebody with cancer? Right? That's the temptation. But I did go. And that man got saved. And I gave glory to God. And I'm going to tell you something. I almost walked out without praying for the cancer, but I didn't. I did lay my hands on the man and pray for the cancer. I'm like, no, devil. And I feel like God gave me the opportunity to kick the devil in the teeth, basically. I'm like, you thought you would shut me up. You thought you would stop me, but I will not be shut up. And I still believe in healing, and I believe it with everything that's within me, whether my experience lined up with that exactly or not. Because remember, my husband's will was involved.
That's right. Amen.
But God's word is still true. God's word is still true. Amen. And if that wasn't enough, on Valentine's Day, that was mine and Jerry's anniversary, and the church was having a situation, you know, having a little dinner here and birthday, and that same friend came and said, hey, this person, the one that I led to the Lord, is asking for you to come pray for them. Will you do it? I'm like, God, Only you could do a thing like this. So I go and pray again for this person. You know what he needed prayer for? His marriage. He needed to be forgiven. And I was able to facilitate him and his wife having reconciliation to get some things out of the way before he would leave this earth. See, I'm always victorious.
Amen.
There's always something good. God will take what the enemy meant for evil and he'll turn it for good. So he redeemed what could have been a bad day. Turned it into a good day. And I went home praising the Lord.
Amen.
Even though my husband's not here on my anniversary. Because
yeah.
Somebody else's marriage was helped on that day.
Amen.
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 I get to choose. And I get to choose because I know who I am.
That's right.
I can choose to line up with that identity. And so can you. And I just want to say to y'all, thank you. I don't know that I've gotten the chance. I said it at Jerry's service, but I want to tell you, thank you. Y'all's outpouring of love and support for me has been incredible. Incredible. And it did not go unnoticed. And it continues. And I am truly humbled and grateful. And Jerry was too. He felt your love and he went home one night for the prayer meeting and he just was like, oh, the love there. The love, I felt the love tonight. That meant so much to me and to him. It helped him. And just so you know, my husband was not afraid of dying. And that gives me comfort. And you know why he wasn't afraid of dying? Because he had already seen the light. He had already gone through respiratory distress. And when he came to, the first thing he started talking to me about was, T, it's real. He couldn't even talk because he was on the ventilator, but he was making motions to me. And I'm like, wait, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm trying to guess, you know. I get a piece of paper and he's writing. He's like, I saw the light. He's like, I saw it. And it's real. And it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Now, one part of me is so grateful I got to hear that story, because do you know how that comforts me? That I know that when he left here, he walked into that light, you know, and he's good. Everything's good for him. That gives me peace. See what I say about God taking care of you every step of the way? He knew I would need that story to hold on to. I have no doubt where Jerry's at. And it was both good and bad, because now that Jerry had seen the light and there was a big struggle ahead of him, he's like, I'm out of here. No doubt about it. He told me flat out, if the light comes again, I'm going. And he did. He started praying to go. So it was both good and bad. Amen? Oh, so this is what I'm trying to tell you, church. We are the body of Christ, the children of God, the church. We have been given the blood, the word, the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, angelic assistance. We have been made the righteousness of God, kings and priests, heirs of salvation. We have authority over all the works of the devil, the ability to heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, speak to the mountain, the ability to speak in a supernatural language and receive supernatural knowledge. We are the church. Listen to me. We are the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And last but certainly not least, we are guaranteed the victory. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 2:14 real quick. Did I give you that one? Okay. Now thanks be to God who what? Always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. You are guaranteed. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So everybody say this with me. Say, I am
the blood bought,
redeemed, Church of God.
Church of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you and we praise you. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your never failing love. And so I pray for my sisters and brothers as they go out of here today. I pray that you will strengthen them, help them to really cling on to their identity in you, no matter what this world gives them or takes away from them. Father, may they be rooted and grounded in who they are in you. And may they get all their value from that. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Word of Life Church. We just wanted to let you know there's a lot more content on our website at wolapopka.com. From our YouTube channel, to our podcast, to our SoundCloud, and many more events. We also wanted to let you know that we love giving you these messages. And it helps us too that if you would love to give to the what we're doing, it helps keep all these messages free. You can just simply go to our website and click the big Give Now button. Or you can text 407-955-5345. And remember, our pastor's vision is this: we grow Christians. So we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.